We are going to sing before we come to look at God's word, but we're going to turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's page 130 in the Black Church Bible if you're using those this morning. I was going to read the whole chapter, but we're rather tight for time, so what we will do is just read verses 1 to 12. So it's headed, "Love the Lord your God." This is Moses writing the law. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. A land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Thanks be to God for his word. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 tell us this: "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." So we come then this morning to continue our series, Wisdom to Live By, and especially this morning, Wisdom for Parents. And of course, nothing can ever prepare you, can it, for becoming a parent? For some of us, that's, you know, a moment long past, but for some, it's a new experience. And nothing can actually prepare you, can it, for that moment? You know, there's the excitement and the frustration and the whatever else goes on in your wife's pregnancy. There's all the build-up, isn't there, to that time when the midwife says your baby is going to be due. And of course then it confounds all expectation by either coming early, late, and catching everybody unawares. But then there's the excitement and the absolute thrill as you see your baby born. And there you are. The midwife passes you as dad, this newborn baby. And you look down on it, and then all of a sudden the penny drops. You're a dad. And you suddenly realize, well, at least I did, that life will never be the same again. And of course, it never will it? And before you know where you are, you're back at home. And you have this lovely bundle of joy that is a screaming baby all through the night. You know, when we first brought Tim home, it was a hot summer's day. And so we had the bedroom windows open. And the next day, the lady who lived over the road said, "We really felt sorry for you as your baby wouldn't stop crying all night long." And we suddenly realized just how much a crying baby's noise travels. And so then all of a sudden, you're there with this crying baby. Well, what do I do? How do I get it to stop crying? I kicked the radiator and nearly broke my foot. That didn't help either. And of course, then if you've been following Tim's Facebook page this week, you will know that as your baby grows up and becomes a toddler...
I should have told you this morning not to mention anything about that.
Oh, sorry. Well, those of us who have been following Tim's Facebook page have found it very amusing that when your baby then grows grows up and becomes a defiant toddler, and you know it won't do as you ask it to, and then it ends up sitting on the naughty stair for 3 hours at night because it doesn't want to go to bed. What do you do? And of course, then before you know where you are, well, your lovely bundle of joy as a baby and your defiant toddler has become a grumpy teenager. And then, you know, they don't talk to you at all. They just simply grunt, don't they? If you ask them a question, you get an ooh as an answer. And, you know, so nothing can prepare you, can it, for being a parent. And so often you get exasperated, yet then Psalm 127 comes to mind and you realise, you know, children are a heritage from the Lord. And you think, yeah, right, sometimes. You know, that's not always how it feels, is it? And it's so, you know, being a parent is not an easy thing. And of course then, you know, your grumpy teenager suddenly turns 18, 19, 20, and then they leave home and they set up their own life and they've gone. And then you reflect, don't you? And you think, oh, if only I could have my time again, I'd do things so differently. And of course, parenting never ends. Your child is always your child. And sometimes you feel even a bit dysfunctional, like this TV family. Do you remember that series, My Family? Yeah. Real window, wasn't it, into family life so often. But you know, parenting is for life. It's not just something we do while we have children at home. We never stop parenting because then the grandchildren come along, don't they? And it never finishes. Have I depressed you enough yet? So what is parenting? Here you are. If you're following through in your, you've got your journals open and you're making notes, wisdom for parents. Here, what is parenting? Well, the definition of parenting is simply this: the raising of children through a loving and stable home life that nurtures and educates. But I would suggest that parenting is not just confined to the home life. Parenting, that education, that nurture through loving and stable relationships has a much wider context for us as the church as well. Because it applies to us collectively, doesn't it, as God's people here, and the children that we have within the church. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, and we are looking at Proverbs obviously through this series on wisdom to live by, if you look through the book of Proverbs, you will soon pick up on a fact that the whole of the book of Proverbs actually is a parental one. It's got that emphasis on teaching and instruction, on wisdom, what is not wise, what is wise. And so the whole theme of the book is as a parental one. It's there to train us. It's there to nurture us. It's there to educate us. Yes, in wisdom for us to live our lives in the world in which we live. But more than that, it's there to train and nurture and educate in godly wisdom, in spiritual things as well. We thought on our motto Sunday that it is the fear of the Lord that brings wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? And that's really what the book of Proverbs has at its heart, a parental one that leads us to fear the Lord. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this: train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And you see, that's the whole thrust, isn't it? Training. I think it's worth just mentioning the fact that, sadly, the book of Proverbs has also been used and abused in this whole sense of training a child. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And you know, sometimes that verse is quoted as a biblical mandate for really harsh treatment of children and in their upbringing. Literally, you know, a literal punishment, literally a beating. You know, don't spare the rod. And, you know, sadly, there have been cases where such a strict home life has not been a life where a child has been nurtured and trained and educated in the way the Proverbs talk about. You know, because the rod is not the cane. Do you remember Psalm 23 where David writes, you know, that lovely psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. What does he write almost at the end of the psalm? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And David has in mind, doesn't he, this rod, this staff, of being a benefit and a blessing to him in that psalm. And exactly the same is true here of the rod in Proverbs. You know, the rod is not something to beat a child with, but the rod actually stands for wise instruction, wise correction, wise discipline. That's why Psalm 29, verse 15, the beginning of verse 15 says, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom." That parental guiding, nurturing, training imparts wisdom. And in the original Hebrew, the word for rod, well, it does apply to a literal staff, you know, something you might use to walk with, or something you might use to point out the way to somebody. But the word for rod in the original Hebrew actually can apply to a group of people as well. A group of people who train and who nurture through wisdom. As I've already mentioned, a couple of weeks ago, Dave and Steph brought Harry for the dedication service, and they dedicated themselves, didn't they? They made promises to teach Harry what the Bible says, and they promised to teach Harry and instruct him in the things of the Lord, so that when he's old enough, he might grow up to be able to make a decision for himself, to trust the Lord. And we also, as the church, made promises on that day. It was only 2 weeks ago. It seems longer than that, doesn't it? But we as the church made promises, didn't we, that we would help Dave and Steph as they seek to bring him up. We would do our part. And so we are, if you like, the rod. We're the group of people that are involved with Dave and Steph in the training and the nurturing of Harry. And of course, not just with Harry. It was great to hear Caitlin say, wasn't it, last week, from the platform here, she'll be 5-1 in a couple of weeks' time, and she said she'd asked Jesus to come into her heart. And that was great. And you see, the whole theme of parenting in the biblical sense is of raising our children, of nurturing our children in an environment that helps them come to that point in their life of growing up in the knowledge of God. That is God's wisdom for life. And so ultimately our goal of parenting as Christians is that our children might fear the Lord, for that is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't mean they're to be clones of us. That would be something awful, really, if our children grew up to be exactly the same as we are. As we bring them up in the fear of the Lord to trust God, it means that they grow up into the people that God wants them to be. They are their own people, yet they have that wisdom that comes from God. So three categories this morning. Here's the first one for you to make headings of: parents with young children. Those verses I read from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 mention two people in those verses. Proverbs 1, verse 8 mentions a father and a mother. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching." Perhaps one of the first things we need to remember as we think of wisdom for parents with young children is that the care and the nurture and the education of young children is the responsibility of both father and mother. Now, that might seem a very obvious thing to say, but you know, in our broken society that we live in, our broken world that we live in, there are plenty of children who do not have any contact with their father. And of course, that's very, very sad, and it's very difficult, isn't it, to fulfill this proverb in that sense. We know that from the kids who come to the midweek kids clubs. So very often there is no dad on the scene anywhere. But the wisdom of God that we have here in Proverbs says that when there is a mum and a dad at home, when there are both parents in a relationship, then they should both be involved in raising their children, in nurturing and training them. Again, why state the obvious? Well, very often in our Christian homes, it doesn't always happen. You know, society has changed a lot, and dad often works very, very long hours and is hardly ever at home. You know, sometimes that can't be avoided. There are times when it can be avoided because sometimes Dad chooses to work long hours. And so he goes to work before Dad, the children get up, and he doesn't go home until the children have gone to bed. And so there's no contact with the children except possibly at a weekend. You know, very often in some Christian families, Dad abdicates his role of parenting. We thought last week in our wisdom to live by for marriage and singleness that so often a husband abdicates his God-given role as being, you know, the leader of that relationship in the right sense. And the same is true in the family. So often Dad abdicates his role that he ought to have. Proverbs 1 tells us that a father should instruct their child. And mothers teach. That's very clear, isn't it? It's not just for mum to do. Dad has to be there, involved. But what is a father's instruction? What is a mother's teaching to look like? Well, the proverb goes on, verse 9, to tell us that actually the instruction of a father and the teaching of a mother should actually be something beautiful. Proverbs 1 verse 9 describes it as a garland to grace a child's head and a chain to adorn their neck. You know, the instruction of a father and the teaching of a mother should be something literally that a child clothes themselves with, that they put on, something that is actually beautiful, something that makes them attractive. Maybe like a headband or a necklace. Something which really benefits the person who is wearing it. You know, I challenged myself as I was preparing. I thought, well, you know, when my children were growing up, was I always a wise instructor? And of course the answer was no. But you know, the proverb says we are to be instructors in our children's lives. Deals with much wisdom. Said when we read it, here is Moses giving the law to the Israelites way back after they had escaped from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and were going to settle in the land. And the law that God gave Moses is a blueprint for life. Yet the interesting thing is we notice that what Moses said there, the purpose of what Moses said is exactly the same purpose as what the writer of the Proverbs has in mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. And of course, that's really the same principle, isn't it, as Proverbs. And so Moses goes on to say in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy in verse 5 that as parents, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. You know, we are to do that, and as we do that, we are to engage the hearts and the minds of our children to do the same as well. We're to be careful to teach them, to impress upon them the laws of God, and the spiritual wisdom that comes from God. Look what Moses says in the beginning of verse 7, if you have your Bible open. Impress the commands on your children. And perhaps one of the most special times of family life is that moment, whether it's in the evening or sometime during the day, where a child just sits down with mum and dad or one or the other, and just talks. You know, so many parents just stick their kid in front of the TV, say, dinner's up, TV, time for bed. You know, but there's a lovely time, isn't there, when we sit with our children and talk. Moses says in Deuteronomy 6, Look, make it your usual routine, those of you who've got children, to talk about spiritual things with your children, as well as everything else. But make sure you explain spiritual things to them. Look at what he says in verse 7. He says, talk about them when you sit at home. But not just when you sit at home. He goes on to say, well, talk about them when you walk down the road as well. And as you walk down the road with your child, there are 101 other things you could talk to them about. But he says, talk to them. Impress the things of God on your child. And there are so many things we can use to impress the wisdom of God on our child as we walk down the road. There's creation, there's the little birds, there's the flowers, all sorts of things. There are people who we might see doing unwise things. And I say, well, what do you think God thinks about that? So impress these things upon your children when you sit at home and when you walk down the road, but even when you lie down and when you get up, you know, those prayers at bedtime. Thanking God for the day. Saying grace at breakfast and asking God to be with you through the day to come. Now, what does Moses have in mind, really, as he writes those things? He has a family environment, doesn't he, which is obviously not an environment where parents are ashamed to talk to their children about spiritual things. He has in mind an environment, doesn't he, where a parent's faith is seen as something that's real, as something that matters to them. And as a child grows up in that environment, seeing that their parents' faith means something to them, well, that child realizes actually that faith is worth having. And it's one of the things that helps a child to come to that point in their own life later on. There's no guarantees, of course. But it's one of the things. An open faith, openly talked about in family life. You know, if God is just shut up and shut out of family life, well, how is that educating our children and nurturing them in the things of God? And if that's how it is, why on earth would they want the same faith? No, Moses says an open faith, a faith that's part of everyday life, a faith that's talked about, a faith that's lived out, is the surefire way to engage with our children on spiritual things. It's the surefire way to impress those things upon our children's hearts and minds. You know, Moses goes on to say, doesn't he? And I've closed my Bible there, sorry. But he goes on to say, you know, tie God's word, God's law as symbols on your hands and write them on your foreheads and write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. You know anything about the Jewish religion? You know that there are many things that are involved in the worship of God, and a Jewish family would have portions of God's law tied to their foreheads and wrapped around their arms. They would be in small boxes called tefillin, and there'd be portions of God's law there. And so the symbolism that, you know, God's law is on their mind the whole time. They would have on their doorpost of their house a little container called a mezuzah, and again that would have a small scroll with part of the law in. And so every time they come in of their house and out of it, you know, they're reminded of God's law. You know, and that's a great principle, isn't it? And as Christians today, you know, the principle is a good one, to constantly have God's law on our hearts and on our minds, so that our children and our children after them, and our children after them, might fear the Lord. Why? Because to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, there's much other wisdom, of course, that's needed for parents, and we can't go into everything. As we thought, our children grow up and the needs for wisdom are different. And the needs in 2015, rather, are very different from Bible times. And of course, one thing I've discovered is that you can't instill wisdom in your child. It's something they have to learn. And so the challenges of parenting are vastly different, but the needs are the same. And perhaps one of the things that we need to put down as a base rule, again it links into marriage and singleness last week, we thought that despite all the relationships we have as humans, our relationship with God has to come first and foremost. And I would say the same has to be true in parenting. That relationship as parents that we have with God has to come first and foremost, because if we don't put God first as parents, we're not going to train and nurture and educate our children to do the same either. You know, if as parents we don't see the importance of gathering for worship before we go off and do anything else on the Sunday, you know, we're not going to nurture and educate our children to do the same. You know, if as parents we don't seek God in making those difficult decisions that we have in life, if we don't seek God in as, you know, for our direction in life, whether it's for job opportunities, career changes, moving houses, or all sorts of things, you know, if we don't seek God in those, and if we don't talk to our children about those as well, we're not going to teach our children to do the same when they grow up. And so Moses is really clear in Deuteronomy. He says, look, parents, first of all, parents, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's got to be the overwhelming principle for you. Why? Because that's something you need to pass on to your children. Of course, said parenting never ends. And so we do just need to consider maybe for a moment or two parents with grown up children. And you know, a large part of our early years parenting is preparing our children for that time when they do grow up and leave home, isn't it? Preparing them for that time when they will have to stand on their own two feet and maybe carve their own way out in the world. We can't have our children forever tied to our apron strings. It's not good for them, and I guess it won't be good for us either. And so there comes a time, doesn't there, where our children need to stand on their own two feet. But trust me, the time when your child leaves home is a terrible time. You know, by the time they've got to that 18, 19, 20, you can't bear to be with them sometimes, but then when they go, you can't bear to be away from them. It's a bit of a double-edged sword. You know, I remember the nights Christine, and probably Mia sometimes, cried herself to sleep when Tem first went to university. You feel so helpless, don't you? You're here and all of a sudden they're miles away. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know if they've arrived back at their digs safely. You don't know if they're eating okay. Or are they just living on packets of crisps? You don't know if they're really happy and enjoying their course. And so the challenges of parenting when our children are that age are very, very different. You know, but the principles remain the same. Perhaps the most important is that as parents, we develop the love for the Lord, such a love for the Lord with our hearts and our soul and our strength even more, because all of a sudden we realise that we're having to depend on him in a very real way. And as we develop that love for the Lord even more, we find that we are in fact able to commit our children to the Lord in a way that we've never had to do before. You know, you can't be with them. You can't know what they are doing. You can't know if they've got home. There is that sense of worry and concern, and we are helpless. But here's the thing, if we don't really trust in the Lord as we should, then it's even harder. And our sense of helplessness is even greater. Yet when we trust in the Lord, we find his grace comes and we are able to commit our children to him through prayer. Lord, I can't do anything. Just watch over him. Watch over her. Keep her safe. Let her ring tomorrow so that I know. Those are hard things to do. And wisdom for parents with grown-up children who are either leaving home or who have left home. You know, one of the wisest things we can ever do is to learn to pray for them in a way that we've never done before. You know, it's a real game changer when we learn to pray to God like that. The other thing I do want to say is that when our children do leave home, very often there's a vacuum left, isn't there? There's that sense of emptiness. You know, you don't have to tidy the bedroom every day. You don't have to wash the dirty sheets. You don't have to do all of the cooking. And, you know, you sometimes, well, what am I going to do? You know, wisdom here tells us that actually, well, maybe a mum might be able to go back to work part-time. Maybe she might be able to pursue some other leisure interests. But you know, the overwhelming principle of wisdom is still this, that when our children have grown up and have left home as mums and dads, we should still love the Lord our God with all our heart. That principle still has to be ours then. And so here's the thing, when our children have grown up and left home, it's the ideal time to be able to have some new service for the Lord. It's the ideal time to be involved in the ministry of the church that you haven't been able to while you've had children at home. And the tragedy is that so often that is the last thing on parents' minds. But you know, if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, it should be first. You know, I've got more time than I used to have. I'm entering a new phase in my life, and so our question should be this: how can I use this phase of my life for the Lord? You know, that's real wisdom for parents with grown-up children. But of course, there's also, as we thought to begin with, you know, this wisdom for parents, it applies to us as a church, doesn't it? And so I just want us to think for a moment to parenting as the church family. Do take the stickers off the wall at the end of the service. Do pray for that particular person or that particular need that's on that sticker. Because of the mix of people in the church, there are some who've been married. There are some who are widowed. There are some who've remained single all their lives and never had children of their own. Yet the church as a family has responsibility here, doesn't it, also, in parenting. It's not just down to Sunday school teachers. When Paul wrote to Titus, who was living on the Greek island of Crete, he outlined how some of the older women and the men were to nurture and train the younger women and men. Just listen to what he says. It's Titus chapter 2 and the last part of verse 3. No, verse 3, sorry. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. And similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. And so that sense of parenting, training, goes on in the church family, doesn't it, as well? You know, right from a young age, children love to be around older people. There's something, isn't there, that there's just that sort of, maybe it's that grandfatherly or grandmotherly sense that a young child has with an older person. We see it so often, don't we? But possibly some of the problem is the older people don't want the young children to be around them too much. You know, that's too much hassle now. We've had our time. But you know, the church as a family means parenting, doesn't it? Right from the youngest to, or parenting, sorry, from the oldest down to the youngest. It means being involved together in that nurturing and in that training and in that encouraging. That's partly what our vision is for the prayer life, isn't it? Those of you who know what we're thinking about as a church, we're seeing, well, how can we nurture and train and encourage our children in praying with God's people? And so this is a hot topic in many ways, isn't it? You know, the church family parenting in this way. And so, you know, as we engage with the children in the fellowship, the reason we do it, you know, is not just to tut at them when they make a noise. We don't engage with them just to tell them off because they might be running around, even though they might be. We engage with them so that they grow up in a spiritual culture and experience of the church. You know, we engage with them about our life experiences. We engage with them about how God has helped us through life. Maybe a child who's struggling at school, maybe feeling bullied or not wanting to get. Well, I felt that too. you know, but God help me. Well, we can talk, can't we? We can encourage and nurture, even as the church family. And of course we pray. We pray for the children among us that they might indeed come to that place of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. You know, the whole environment of wise parenting doesn't really matter whether it's in the family or whether it is in the church. It's encapsulated in one principle, really, of developing that fear for the Lord, because that is where true wisdom starts. And so, as we parent, as we go about parenting in all the different ways that we do, whether it's in our home life or whether it's here in the church life, may we be wise. May we be wise parents. But may we train and encourage and nurture our children. May they see that we love the Lord with all our heart. May they see that He is the most important thing in our lives, so that they might follow and love Him too. Well, I pray God will bless His word to us. We were going to sing, but time has gone. But we will just close with a word of prayer. And as I said, don't forget to take the little prayer notes off the wall before you go, and so that we pray for each other throughout the course of this day. Well, let's just come and bow in prayer as we close. Father God, we do thank You that You have given us such great wisdom in Your word. Father, we acknowledge in our own lives that we don't love You with all our heart as we ought to do. And so, Lord, we pray that we might make sure that that is sorted in our own lives. Father, we pray that You might be our first priority. And Lord, we ask that as that gets sorted in our own lives, whether as individual parents or collectively as the church here, we pray, Lord, that might impact upon our children. And Father, we ask that You grant us all great wisdom. Great wisdom in the way we parent and encourage. Father, we thank You for the privilege that You've given us of doing this. Father, we thank You that it is such a responsibility. And so, Father, we ask that You would help us. And above all, Father, we pray that it might be so our children come to know You, who to know is life eternal. Father God, hear our prayers. We pray now that You will part us with Your blessing, and that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit might be with each one of us. Amen.